Hosea chapter 14 verses 1 through 9. This is the reading of God's word. Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, that we may present the fruit of our lips. Assyria will not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say again, our God, to the work of our hands. For in you and orphans find mercy. I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. I will be like the dew to Israel. He will blossom like the lily, and he will take root like the cedar of Lebanon. His shoots will sprout, and his beauty will be like the olive tree, and his fragrance like the cedar of Lebanon. Those who live in his shadow will again raise again, and they will blossom like the vine. His renown will be like the wine of Lebanon. O Ephraim, what more have I to do with idols? It is I who answer and look after you. I am like a luxuriant cypress. From me comes your fruit. Whoever is wise, let him understand these things. Whoever is discerning, let him know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the righteous will walk in them, but transgressors will stumble in them. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that you will bless all of us, that as we hear your word, we may truly hear your word, because you will grant an ear to hear your word, that our faith will grow and will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ. Let your word will be preached correctly, and that all of us not only understand, but truly believe and obey your word. Oh, Father, we pray that you and you alone will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Like I said, more than 100 years ago, Professor Voss preached a sermon on Hosea 14, and this is my interpretation of his sermon. Well, Hosea 14, which we are looking at today as a whole, is about the glory of the end, the glory of the eternal kingdom of God, the glory of heaven. Through the revelation of God, Hosea looks forward to the new world. It is the promise of God written like a beautiful music. Through Hosea, we see the beauty of heaven and the glory of heaven. Thus, we see the glory of God. Before chapter 14, if you read Hosea, we read about the awesome judgment of God. But that fierce judgment is now over as we come to verse chapter 14. And the eternal peace and the eternal joy now begin. All through the night, there was a great fierce storm, but now the morning has dawned and the sun is shining through. The joy of that new world of God is this: God possessing his people and knowing his people, and his people possessing God and knowing God. See, this is what heaven is all about. And Hosea in this chapter shows us this very reality. The chapter begins with this, verse 1, return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. You see, this is the ultimate purpose of the redemption. by what God has done in Jesus Christ for them, the people of God, coming back to God and live with Him forever and ever. They come back to God, and from their lips comes these words, verse 2. Take away all iniquity. Take away all iniquity. All sins are washed away and forgiven permanently. Why do all the sins must be taken away? Well, it is for us, His people, to enjoy God perfectly and for God to enjoy us, His people, perfectly. See, God and His people, each other becomes delight for one another. God is His people's delight, and His people are God's delight. Again, this is what heaven is all about. All this is accomplished through the redemptive work of Christ Jesus, His cross, His righteousness, and His resurrection. Heaven is a place where our eyes will never lay upon anything that is of this world. Heaven is a place where our hands will never make anything of this world. It is a place where anything of this world will not attract our love. It is a place where we will be able to love God perfectly forever. Who will say, verse 3, Assyria will not save us. Who will not ride on horses, nor will we say again, our God, to the work of our hand. The orphan finds mercy in God. In that glorious place, only God and Him alone will be our joy forever. And God will speak to us in that day. Verse 4, I will heal their apostasy. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from them. Again, all this is accomplished by the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus God becomes to His people. Verse 5, I will be like the dew of Israel. And what will happen to us when God becomes dew for us? Verse 5 and 6, He will blossom like the lily, and He will take root like the cedar of Lebanon. His shoots will sprout, and His beauty will be like the olive tree, and His fragrance like the cedar of Lebanon. Verse 7, those who live, love, in His shadow will raise grain. And they will blossom like the vine, and His renown will be like the wine of Lebanon. Then God will say, verse 8, I am like a luxuriant cypress. From me comes your fruit. As you know, the whole world fell in sin. The world became like wilderness. It is a desert, no water. So everything is dry and dead. Famine and disease prevents the grains to grow. The world is full of foul smells, smell of sin and death. This is the description that the Bible uses to express the world in sin. But you see, God comes to this, and He Himself becomes the dew. So we blossom like the lily. Our roots are once again rooted in rich soil. Our shoots will sprout, and the beauty will shine. Grain will grow again, and the flowers blossom, and our fragrance is like the cedar of Lebanon. God Himself is portrayed as a beautiful tree, and from Him our fruits are given. Jesus Christ comes to a world of sin and death and foul smell, and He creates a new world. the world of beauty, world where flowers blossom and grains grow and shoots sprout, the world full of life and growth. Death turns to life, foul smell turns to fragrance of heaven, the wilderness turned to the land of milk and honey, and redemptive world of Jesus Christ, the redemptive works of Jesus Christ accomplish all of this. You see, in this passage, even though at first glance you might wonder, what is God telling us? We are actually looking nothing less than the picture of heaven. God is portrayed as the beautiful tree, and that God is for His people. He bears much fruit. This is the picture of God caring for His people. And this shows how deep, wide, and big, and high is God's love for His people. You see, this is the picture of God's kingdom. The perfect God, who does not need anything or any man, gives Himself to the created creatures as the object of their love. Who is so wise to understand these things? Who is so wise to know these things? You and I, we long to know this. We long to understand this. To know and understand this is the ultimate purpose for us. What kind of words will we use to describe this? This fellowship between God and His people, this union between God and His people. It is a picture of God inviting His created people to His most intimate place of life and blessing. God using all of infinite resources to enable us to taste the joy of heaven. It is a picture of the river of joy overflowing. He gives Himself without restraint nor reserves anything. It is a picture of heaven, God giving Himself to Him, His people. And because of Him being eternal and infinite, when He gives Himself to His people, they are completely satisfied. We are totally satisfied that there is neither place nor time for desiring any other things. All our minds, souls, hearts, and strength are focused at Him. This giving Himself to us is His joy. And of course, it is our joy. See, this, what we see in Hosea 14, this is something that fallen man cannot even imagine. But through Jesus Christ and His redemptive works became our reality. Sin makes it impossible for us to enjoy this God. Sin makes our joy and love fall on something else. And this is what sin does to us. That is why you and I, we hate sin. Sin takes away the joy of heaven. However, the gospel of Jesus Christ brings us the good news of God taking away our sins in Jesus Christ. Thus, our joy multiplies infinitely. Because it is joy that is of salvation. God giving Himself was never so clearly portrayed than in His redemption. The praises that we who are saved sing are much more glorious and joyous than the praises that were sung by our angels and the morning star at the first creation. The heavenly picture that we see in chapter 14 of Hosea is the picture of the relationship between redeemed people of God and God who has redeemed them. If we understand what these verses are really telling us, it is glorious. It is a picture of new world. Everything is new. It is not a picture of God who barely saved His people, but God who is the victor, who completely destroyed the Satan and sin. It is more glorious than the relationships that God had with His people before they sinned against Him. And this is why it is so glorious that God had that perfect relationship with sinless Adam. And yet, our relationship with God in Jesus Christ is much more glorious. Even though we are sinners, but because of Jesus Christ and what He has done, our relationship with God brings out more glory. See, our salvation, our heavenly life is not just going back to Eden. Because it is not anything of this world. The tree that we see is not a tree that can be found in this world. The tree that we see in our passage is the one and only the true living God Himself. Now, rest of this sermon, I want to consider the fruit that we gain from God. Verse 8, the latter half of that verse 8 says that from God comes the fruits. First thing we must understand is that fruit that He gives, the fruit is God Himself. So God gives Himself to us. God said, I will be their God and they shall be my people. Another way of saying this is that God will possess His people and we will possess God. It is giving each other to one another. And that's the relationship that we have with God. You have to understand. If you truly understand this relationship that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished, as soon as you wake up, you're going to focus on that relationship. It is so beautiful, so glorious, and so joyous. Because it is God and us giving ourselves to God, God Himself to us, giving each other to one another. And I want you to really think about this every single day. Especially if you feel you have no joy in your life, then you will focus on this. God giving Himself to us, and we give Him ourselves to Him. You know, many times you will find you even forget about God. You know, how many times, how many hours do you really think about God when you think about 24 hours of your day? I said this many times. If your boyfriend or your girlfriend forget about you like you forget about God every day, you will be very upset. And yet, this is what we do. But God gave Himself to us, and we, in Christ, been saved. So that one day, when we see Him face to face, we will be actually able to give ourselves perfectly to Him. But see, that relationship has already begun. Let me read you many verses here. Psalm 16 verse 5, the Lord is the portion of my inheritance. Psalm 73 verse 26, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Psalm 142 verse 5, you are my refuge, my portion in the land of living. God is my portion, my inheritance. But if we read Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 9, for the Lord's portion is His people. Jacob is the allotment of His inheritance. So God's word tells us that God is our portion and we are His portion. See, God and His people, one is the other's portion. One is the other's inheritance. See, this reality is portrayed in Hosea in the analogy of a marriage. Did you know that you're married to your God? That God married us in Jesus Christ. That He is our eternal husband. Hosea chapter 2 verse 19 and 20, I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness, in compassion. And I will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord. From this we see that the fruit we gain from God is also very exclusive. It's not just personal, but it's also exclusive. See, God gives this fruit only to His covenant people. And God giving Himself only to His covenant people exclusively demands that His people giving themselves only to God exclusively. I mean, that's what marriage is all about. And if we are truly married to our God, that if He is our eternal husband, that we are His bride, even as God giving Himself to us exclusively, we need to give ourselves to God exclusively. All our love and services must not be toward anything else but God and God alone. What is important here is not just that God is our husband, but what kind of husband He is to us. He is worthy of all our love and service. He deserves infinitely more than everything we could give to Him. He gives Himself to us and only to us, but how about us? Do we give ourselves only to Him? The fact that God is our possession means that there is no other possession for us, because all other is idolatry. Love. When we love someone, loving that person dominates every aspect of our life. Just look at someone who is in love. You don't have to force that person. But their whole focus is on that person whom they love. See, loving that person is the center and all other disappear behind. One mind, one purpose. Love that forgets everything else. That's what true love is all about. And this is the love that God deserves from us. This is the love that we must love God with. It is our worship. And of course, we cannot do this perfectly here on earth, but this is the picture of heaven. This is the true picture of the relationship between God and His people in heaven forever. And that relationship is yours. You have to believe. Everything outside of God and His kingdom is hindrance to this relationship. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, I want you to truly understand. It's not okay to love God with just love that we see in this world. See, whatever we do not bring to God, we will set it up as an idol and worship it. I don't care what it is. It could be your parents, it could be your kids, it could be your wife, it could be your husband, it could be your job, it could be your studying. You have to understand those things in terms of loving God. And we even set up God as an idol. When one does not know God according to the Bible, whatever God he creates in his mind becomes an idol as he worships that God he created in his mind. If you don't know the Bible, then God that you think you know, you have created in your mind. Do you know for sure that God that you know and you serve is the same God that Bible teaches? Otherwise, you are worshiping an idol. It is so important you know the Bible. If we want to love God, truly love God. Otherwise, you're worshiping an idol. See, zeal without true knowledge, service without true knowledge are all hindrance to the true love and true service that we owe our God. We must ask the question, do I love God Himself and totally satisfied with Him and Him alone? Do I serve Him for who He is because He is the most important and most precious to me? Or do I serve Him and worship Him for the success of our worldly purpose? See, some people, they just love what they believe God will give them. But what if He doesn't give you anything? Will you still love Him? I mean, it's the nonsense. It's crazy talk. But He gave Himself. He gave His life. But do you love God? Period. God Himself. Because we must love God and Him alone. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know that love chapter? 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 2 is not just talking about love for other men alone when it says, and if I give all my possession to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned, but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Giving all my possession to feed the poor, surrendering my body to be burned, are these things a proof that I have true love? No. If those things do not come out from your genuine love of God, then all are nothing. We must love our God. And the fruit that God gives, that is Himself, is wholly given in its entirety, is given to each and every one of His people individually. This is possible because God Himself is infinite. See, in our side, it's not possible. I cannot love, truly love, two women. Because my love will divide. Because I'm finite, I'm not infinite. But even though God has all of us as His bride, He could truly give Himself to each one of us because He is infinite. See, this is perfect marriage. This is a perfect marriage for each and every one of His people. Because God is infinite and eternal, even though there are so many people who receive this fruit, the entire fruit is given to each and every one of His people. Thus, both person who is involved in this marriage gives oneself entirely to one another. We to God and God to us. It is most deep and intimate face-to-face meeting of God and man. And I always tell you, when you look at Jesus Christ, we see so many things, but what do you see mostly? We see the union between God and man. Jesus Himself is God and man. And what is amazing to me is that not only Jesus is God and man, but when you look at me, I am also man and God because God lives in me. Jesus, whenever He walks around, He preached that it's possible for God to be with man because He Himself was one. But we have the same message as we walk around. I could be with God. God is with me. And that's my eternal reality. That is who I am. See, you cannot talk about me apart from God anymore. There's no Young Kim apart from God anymore. There's no such thing. You will go to the ends of the earth to find that Young Kim without God, and you will fail. Because there's no such thing. Because if you want to talk about me, now you have to talk about me in union with my God. Because that's my eternal reality. This is what salvation is all about. It is most deep and intimate face-to-face meeting of God and man. All other fade to the background as I behold God's beauty. Behold, completely submerged in His glory. Oh, brothers and sisters, take time to do this. To submerge in His glory and beauty. Think about who your God is. Loving only God and enjoying only Him. Apart from Him, nothing matters. Nothing ceases to exist. It is that kind of meeting whenever we meet God. This is not happen perfectly, of course, until we get to heaven. But by God's grace, we do get time to time a taste of this awesome heavenly reality. It's okay to be alone because you are alone with God. See, then heaven is a place of this kind of meeting with God. Meeting God in our most intimate place through the Word of God. And He meets us individually. He meets us corporately also. But we are even jealous for God, wanting God all by myself. But because He is infinite, He does meet us one by one, person to person for all eternity. We long to meet Him and know Him. We long to love Him more and more. This is what Christianity is all about. And if you understand Christianity, apart from in terms of our relationship with God, then you're missing it. The fruit that God gives, which is God Himself, is always transforming and recreating. It changes us. This fruit is different from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, in that this fruit actually makes us like God. You know, we hear about married couple, they become husband and wife, they look like more and more to one another. It's something like that. God actually became man in the person of Jesus Christ. And we know, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, are the partakers of the divine nature. This does not mean that we become gods. But we do become more and more like God. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10. And have put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. The image of God is created in man. The beauty of God is created in men. God's people who receive God become more and more like God. God's people who possess Him and who are possessed by Him will in their entire characteristic as man become more and more like the one that they possess, according to the will of one who possesses them. See, this is the will of God, and the purpose of God is to shine His beauty, His image, His glory through His people who He possesses. This is what our life is all about. I am every single day becoming more like my God. And one day when I see Him face to face, I will be just like Him. And I'm not making these things up. This is what the Bible teaches. Hosea chapter 2, verse 19 and 20, I will betroth you to me forever, God said. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and in compassion. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, then you will know the Lord. Becoming more and more like Him is to know Him more and more. He becomes the entire content of my knowledge. One day you will realize everything you know in that glorious place, heaven, that everything in that knowledge is about Christ. That's the entire content of our knowledge in heaven. The world will not even talk about it. God says we will not even going to remember. Oh, we long for that day to come soon, that I could forget everything about this world and focus on Christ. That all I know is Jesus Christ. Don't you think it will be so wonderful? That all you know is Jesus Christ. Nothing exists apart from Christ. My life, my existence means nothing apart from Christ. Thus, the ultimate adultery in our marriage to God is not knowing Christ and not wanting to know Christ. Because this is to deny covenant. This is due to not receiving the fruit. How much do you desire to know Christ? How much? He knows you. And He wants to have that fellowship with you. You know, in the book of Revelation, there's a passage that talks about Jesus knocking at the door. And some people think that it's about Jesus coming to save people. No, because the passage was actually written to the church. It was written to Christians. And He's talking about knocking at the door. What He's talking about is knocking at Christian's door so that Christian can open that door so that he could have fellowship. He could come into that Christian and have fellowship with him. Do not let him outside your door. There's a passage in Song of Solomon that this husband figure is knocking all night, knocking and knocking, and the wife inside is not opening the door, so the dew, it just comes down on his head, and his head gets wet, and he's just waiting for that wife to open that door. Is it you that Jesus is knocking and you're not opening because you don't want to have fellowship with Him? You have no time for Him? Don't let Him stand there. His hair is getting so wet because He's outside knocking the door of your heart and you refuse to open it. Let Him in and have this sweet fellowship with Him every chance you have. Then you will know what joy is all about. The eternal joy that no one can take away from you. The relationship between God and man in heaven is very difficult, if not impossible, to express with our language. It is too deep, too big, too high, too wide for our language to contain. It transcends our minds, but what is clear is that being possessed by God and possessing God produce in us His beauty that becomes literally ours. So that without that beauty, we no longer can describe ourselves. The beauty of God is our beauty. Oh, brothers and sisters, do not think that you're ugly. I don't care what the world says to you. You have God's image in you. And you are becoming more like God every single day. You are so beautiful. And you are so beautiful to God. The beauty of God is our beauty. And we truly enjoy God. He is our joy indeed. Through the Word of God, meet this beautiful God in the most intimate way and behold Him. As you behold Him, experience in the most awesome way how everything else fades into non-existence. this is possible for you every single moment because God saved you. Because you are His bride. Everything fades away, only God is left. And you are totally satisfied. And really doesn't matter what situation you are in, you are totally satisfied. Because He Himself is given to you. You possess Him. He's yours. What else do you need? First John chapter 3 verse 2, behold, now we are children of God, that it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him because we will see Him just as He is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on Him, Bible says, He will purify Himself just as Jesus is pure. Brothers and sisters, this is your reality. Believe. And brothers and sisters, enjoy. Enjoy Him. Enjoy together with Him now and forever. He possesses us and we possess Him. And we must witness that reality as we live our lives here. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 9. Paul says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ, Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Jesus Christ, and may be found in Him. But I told you many times, even though we interpret that passage as how we are to be, but this is actually called to be like Christ because Jesus suffered the loss of all things. And count them but rubbish, even His life. Why? So that He may gain me, gain you. This is what our love is all about, brothers and sisters. Do you even know that you are in this love story? That God count everything rubbish. He even gave His life to gain me, as I will count everything else rubbish and willing to lose to gain Him. This is what our life is all about. Even though you might not see your life like this, but Bible explains this is your life and guarantees it that you will count everything rubbish. When you see Him face to face in that glorious place, you will count everything rubbish. And you will be willing to even die, if you could, even die to gain Him. But you will realize that you already have Him as He has you. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, I want you to understand that this is your reality. This is what your life is all about. And if you understand your life apart from this, brothers and sisters, you're missing out. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care how much money you make. You're missing out. Actually, you have nothing apart from Christ. And when He returns, you will realize how nothing you have apart from Christ. But brothers and sisters, I want you to understand what your life is all about. And because of what Christ has done, I want you to understand what you're doing in Christ as you live by faith. He possesses you, you possess Him. Nothing less than that is what your life is all about. Brothers and sisters, love Jesus Christ with everything you have. You will not regret it. You will not put to shame. Jesus is everything. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and power. Oh Father, we thank you that we are able to find that complete and perfect satisfaction in Jesus Christ and Him alone. That He is everything to us. That for us to live is Jesus Christ. We thank you, God. We give you all the glory, honor, and power. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.